Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpa. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled Rage Against the Levine, featuring Drew, Shane, and Mark Levine, who's on for the first time since I've been host. And on today's show, we play the domain game featuring APC.net, Portage.id, and KYC.me. Then we've got the NameJet and the Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including dogramps.com, EICO.com, goldenparachute.com, and recall.org. We also talk about Bitcoin, some altcoins, choose rich, y'all. And we get into CCTLDs, and we also talk about domain inventory management and domain pricing. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. Also, we integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So definitely check all that out. And props to our sponsor, Dan.com, the number one place in the world to buy and sell your domains with a special platform made for domain investors. And special shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world, specializing in domain acquisition, sales, and appraisals. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain name and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. And last but not least, it's time to start getting ready for NamesCon in Austin in June. So please go to namescon.com for details and to get registered. It's going to be a good one. We're going to be there live on location in Austin, Texas with everybody. Really looking forward to it. All right. With that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, aka JT, aka J On, aka AAF. Sherpa Winfrey, John Burgundy, the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review, where we get into the minds of successful domain investors, some of the best in the biz, using real examples, talking about actual domains bought, sold, and some other things so we can learn strategies and tactics to become better, more successful domain investors ourselves. Again, these are the experts. These are the OGs. It is always a pleasure and a privilege to have guys like this on the show. Four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas. We see what's going on with them. Talk about some related things, maybe some unrelated things, find out what's going on with them. The domain game is segment two, where we hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on the price. We'll eventually get some swag to the winner. I think last week was Drew. The last show we did, Drew won. So he is the defending champ, which doesn't happen very often, which is actually pretty interesting that that's the case. Segment three is NameJet and the Jet, sponsored by our friends at NameJet. We'll review a list of domains coming up for auction. Ooh, Shane's got some of the NameJet. That's the old NameJet Gonna Jet t-shirt from back in the day.
That's right.
Oh,
keeping us flying. NameJet's keeping us flying.
Let's go. And then last but not least, we got grand closing, where we'll discuss anything we haven't covered already, talking about what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, allowing our guests to promote anything they feel like talking about that we have not already discussed. All right. With that, let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my right, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, aka Morpheus, aka the Dirk Diggler of digital assets, aka Bob Lee Swagger, the sniper, aka Greybeard, the domain pirate. Morning, Drew, or your afternoon. What's happening, man? How you living?
Yeah, we're not that far apart, you know, only 4 hours apart at the moment.
Oh, man, it's like closer
another,
than ever.
Another week or two or something.
Yeah. Daylight savings is an interesting thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of just weird.
Yeah, it's just another thing from the man to make you question reality. You feel me?
You got to get the crops in. No, we got to get the crops in.
Is it a farming thing? Is that where it originates from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give you more time in the day to get the crops and get everything done. That's exactly what it's for.
Look at that, you know, and I did not know that, but that's a nice little factoid. But all right, well, cool. Thanks for sharing that. That's great. Let's keep it moving to my lower right. For the first time on the show since I've been the host, so I'm super excited about this. We got our boy, Marky Mark Levine, a.k.a. Barnes, a.k.a. Noble, a.k.a. Rage Against the Levine, a.k.a. X Marks the Levine. What's up, man? A.k.a. Matchbox 21. What's up, dude? How are you?
Those were phenomenal.
Thank you.
I was really impressed. So I liked them a lot.
Yeah, all good.
I have to rename myself on my socials.
Hey, dude, it's what you got to do. It's a free service we provide as part of, you coming on here. You know what I'm saying? Giving us value. We try to give a little bit back. Rage Against the Levine is probably my favorite. I really like one of the, sometimes when I come up with good ones, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to drop that one on everybody.
It's a good one.
So for those of you who don't know, Mark started in domains, early 2000s, domaintheory.com is his site, started back in 2010 as a domain name holding and development company, along with his book publishing company, which is really his thing, hence the Barnes and Noble stuff. 10-year CEO, founder, Hillcrest Media Group, book publishing company that you actually started, right, according to the bio, as part of your own book that you wrote, which was on self-publishing, right? So kind of like
it's a fluke of flukes. Never happen again. So
that's a crazy full circle kind of thing. And then you sold the business to Salem Media Group back in 16. And then after that, it's largely just been domains and then just living a life of a man of leisure and domains, right? I mean, is that the deal?
I mean, I'm a lucky guy. I've been rewatching The Sopranos an hour every morning.
I love it. That's a great way to get started, man.
Sopranos, a good way to get the day going,
dude. I'll tell you, for me, Sopranos was really the first television, and we don't get too much into pop culture because Drew shuts it down. He's like, stop talking about these random things that nobody cares about. But The Sopranos was the first TV show for me that I actually watched like a movie, that really had that gravitas. It was a combination of the kind of the production quality. Obviously, it was on HBO, so you had violence and some nudity and some language. So it gave it also like a little bit more like, it didn't feel like even dramas on, network television at that time felt overproduced, felt not real, right? Sopranos felt totally real.
And it still holds up pretty well.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and then, even the fact that the memes and just all, actually, I saw recently the booth that Tony Soprano and his family sat in on the last episode.
It's going to auction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's sold. I thought it sold for like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It did sell. I can't remember what the price was, but I think it sold. It was red, right? It was a red.
It sold.
Right before
it's funny because I retired and the first thing I did is I went and watched Band of Brothers. When you're working hard, you just don't have time to you can watch it, but even if you really don't even watch it fully because you're trying to work or raise kids you never immerse yourself. And I went and watched Band of Brothers. I just sat there just thought like it was it's so well done and so historic and so accurate. I feel like I was actually there and I went back and read more on it. It's just having free time to actually take things in is just a different beast when it comes to quality entertainment or learning. You just don't go in. You just don't immerse yourself when you got heads down. It's just how life is, man. Kids and work don't ever allow you to fully take everything in.
Yeah, JT's about to realize how badly he scheduled this show.
Yeah.
Why? What's going on?
Well, because I started my day telling JT about how unmotivated I was today. There's a direct correlation between the higher the Bitcoin price goes, or the domains we sell, the less motivated I become. Now I'm sitting here listening to y'all talk about, I sit around watching Sopranos, sitting around watching Band of Brothers. And I'm like, I'm going to sit around and I don't know. I'm going to watch something.
Yeah, the Bitcoin price goes a little bit higher and, Drew's about to fully check out. And then I'm like,
one thing I found out is it doesn't go higher or lower by me watching it.
No, that's true. But the last piece, real quick, The last piece on the but yeah, that HBO era of television, you know, Band of Brothers, Six Feet Under, Sopranos, The Wire. I mean, really just some classic stuff that I think, you know, this, and I'm sure there's probably books and magazine articles written about this, like that shift in, you know, again, sort of TV and then now Netflix and everything is like, you know, it's all changed. And for the better, a lot of good quality television, man, great quality TV out there. So. And all more accessible than ever. So good stuff. All right. Well, Mark, welcome. DomainTheory.com for anybody that wants to learn more or connect with you. That's home base. So please be sure to do that. And then last but certainly not least, let me introduce below me, my boy, Shane Coulter, a.k.a. Sugar Shane, a.k.a. Honey Shane, a.k.a. Blame It on Shane, a.k.a. Doing It for the Culture. I'm not going to go crazy and do like 100 AKAs. I'm going to keep it kind of tight today so that we can keep it moving into the actual domain talk. But you are how many feet above sea level at the moment? I know that's a still.
I'm at the heart. You know, when you want to work hard, you come to the hardest working city in America. And that's Leadville, Colorado. It was built on the gold rush. 300,000 people searching for their dream. That was bigger than Denver, was going to be the capital. It just wasn't accessible in the winter. So what do? I come in the winter. It's,
yeah, there you go.
23. I've been here a week. We got 23 inches of snow. We're supposed to get about 12 more. I love it, man. It's heads down. Nobody fucks with you. Nobody.
That sounds to me like hell froze over.
No, a lot of people think that. Like, I like winter. When I come back to spring,
I hate it. I hate winter. I hate winter. Yeah. I literally.
Here's the other thing I'll point out.
Winter 30 is
degrees like, here feels like 70.
Be like winter walks in front of my car.
Everybody in Florida is the same way. No, that's where I go where people flee from. I'm into the fire, so or into the cold.
I like
cold,
that.
So.
I like the idea of like, you know, I don't mind some snow and some winter. I like the, you know, living in Florida. I like that I can travel to it if we want to experience that.
100%. I don't want to live here. I'm here two, three months a year.
I love the idea that I have that option that I'm never going to execute. I love that idea.
Yeah. you never know. Everybody's got their thing.
Just a flight away from the cold. I love having that. You know, just the back of my mind just makes me feel good knowing I'm just a flight away from the cold.
You don't like the Swiss Alps?
I'm never going to take
the Swiss Alps.
You don't like Mont Blanc?
I love the Swiss Alps in the summer. When you're driving through those roads, looking up, and you got some snow peaks, but you got green pastures with wildflowers. Beautiful. I was in the Swiss Alps in September. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there in December. I don't want to be there in February. I don't want to be there in May. I want to be there.
And that's why I love it here.
July 1st.
Nobody's here.
September 30th.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm here, not Aspen. I'm not here to show off my silver lab and my nice jacket. I just want to sit up here in the cold. Nobody bothered me. Everybody's got their thing. That. Yeah.
I like it. But you're like snowshoeing and skiing and doing all that stuff, right?
Every day. Cross country skiing, downhill skiing, snowshoeing, running. You should see the track doing workouts. They've carved one lane out around the track and it's 4 foot high. So you're running around a tunnel just around in a circle. Really? It's the craziest track I've ever seen. But their track team wins state championships every year because they go down to sea level and they're their lungs are, you know, 700 gallons. So it's like they're breeding superhumans up here. It's awesome. But anyway, everybody's got their thing. And that's, you know, let's get it back to domains. Domains allow us to work from anywhere. We can go anywhere in the world we want. We've been fortunate to make enough money to go these places. It's just, I mean, I don't say it jokingly. We're living the dream. We do whatever the hell we want, wherever we want. And so that's what we're
doing. Yeah, I mean, it really is. And I think this is probably a perfect example. This is a great group for that. You know, like we're all in different parts of the world. We all have the kind of lifestyle that we choose to have, but for the most part, you know.
We chose rich. Chose rich.
See, yes, you chose rich. Let's go. I told you. So I hit you up this morning.
You had to say that.
I told you Shane was going to be on it. I told you.
Shane bought a new car with Chose Rich.
Dude, yo. So here's my thing. So just in case Mark's not up on this, because I told Drew about it this morning. I'm like, yo, so there's a shit coin that is this dude on Twitter who's this crypto bro who's getting all this attention.
Before we proceed.
Come on, man. You got Nick.
Listen to me. Saying?
Choose Rich.
I do not support shit coining. I do not support shit coinery. I do not support shit coins. Whatever these guys are going to say, it amounts to shitcoinery. I do not support it. I think it is silly. I think it is a very good way to not own Bitcoin. It's a very good way to not own Bitcoin. And as far as I'm concerned, If you don't own Bitcoin, you are short Bitcoin. If you own ETH, you are short Bitcoin. If you own Solana, you are short Bitcoin. And if you own Choose Rich, you are so short Bitcoin, you have no chance of ever catching the train.
Dude, hey, man, look. No bull run is complete without some straight up.
Come at me.
Like, the bull run is not complete without some shit coinery, son.
Have fun staying poor. I'll see you at the finish line.
Choose rich. That's the new have fun staying poor is choose rich. So anyway, Mark, I don't know if you're paying attention to this, but there's this dude who's like a, you know, Solana, Ethereum, like, you know, NFT dude.
Just replace all that shit with this shit coiner. There's a dude and he's a shit coiner.
Yeah,
he's got Bitcoin too. He's got lots of Bitcoin.
I wish he didn't.
He's a crypto bro, man.
He does.
He's doing these videos that are so funny because he's like, you know, on a yacht and he's like, choose rich. And like all the community notes are like blasting him because they're like, you can tell by the reflection in his glasses that he's not being driven by his own chauffeur, but instead in an Uber. And he's like, so then he does another video where he's like, you can't tell me that I don't have it. You think I'm in an Uber? I'm in my private movie theater in my New York.
Yacht had a two hour release form on the table.
I love it. It's like part of the whole vibe.
We blew up the picture and he rented the yacht for 2 hours, the release form sitting on the table behind him.
It's like I'm on my yacht. Oh dude, he's a funny dude, man. And but hey, it's a Solana coin, right? So where do you get it, Shane? Where do you tell the people?
You just go on Dex. I mean, Dex has all the terrible coins. And I'm gonna say to Drew, there is like every portfolio you have 90% in your solid, your beliefs, but there's that 10% of your domains or your shit coins where you go out there and you do stupid stuff. I'll hand you my tax returns. I'll show you. I do just fine with it. That allows me to buy more Bitcoin that, you know, I don't get too deep.
But let us just be abundantly clear. Okay. Shane is a tried, true, and experienced equity and securities trader. He understands options. He knows how to trade these instruments. He knows that this is a shit coin and that there is a behavior to shit coins, and he trades around that behavior to his benefit. But his benefit is your loss. And most of the people who are going to trade this are literally going to be the loser, right? And so
100%.
Anyways, look, I also, here's the deal. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Like, I literally have traded in, invested in, whatever you want to call it, probably 1,500 shit coins over the years, right? Over the last 12, 15, 14, what is it, 2000?
Well, you were a big Solana guy for a while. Bitcoin. Yeah, you were a big Solana. Yeah.
This is a different cycle, in my opinion. In my opinion, this is the cycle for all the chips. And this is the cycle where it is very dangerous to own anything but Bitcoin, because I think that you are going to see a divergence. I think that we're going to see a massive black swan event, whether it's geopolitical or whatever it's going to be. And you're going to see a divergence, in my opinion, between Bitcoin and everything else, because everything else has no underlying driving premise. There's no reason to fucking own it other than number go up. Whereas Bitcoin is actually has a real world utility of wealth preservation that cannot be seized, that cannot be tampered with, that cannot be, and there's going to be a really good reason to own that very, very soon. And so I think it is extraordinarily risky to own anything other than Bitcoin, personally, in this cycle. But everybody should do what they want to do. You should do your homework and go find out if Choose Rich is the right thing for you.
Choose rich. That's all. Choose you know rich, everybody. Choose
Listen,
rich.
I got rich, and I'm choosing no. You know, I'm choosing
not to get rich. Poor. You feel me?
Yeah, I'm choosing not to get poor. That's what I'm doing.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Fun. It's all fun.
Look, it is all fun. And to be honest with you, in a normal cycle, I would be throwing a dart at some stupid shit coin just because I know that stupid money's going to chase this stupid shit coin and number will go up. And, you know, I'm level-headed enough that generally speaking, I've been pretty good at getting out before the dumb money gets out. And so I have benefited from the strategy that you're talking about, which is sell some of these shit coins when they get exuberant returns, use that to funds to buy Bitcoin, which is, you know, underperforming the shitcoin, and you get more Bitcoin. It's easier said than done, but it can be done. And there's many people that do it. And it's a great strategy if you can execute on it and you know how and your experience. But again, I think it's a game of musical chairs this cycle. And there ain't a lot of chairs, because if you didn't notice, BlackRock's eating a yeah. lot of chairs every day, right?
It's got a whole room full of chairs.
Yeah, we got it. We got a, you know, there's not a lot of cookies, and we suddenly got 9 new cookie monsters plus Sailor. So you got like 10 real cookie monsters out there trying to eat all the cookies. You feel me? And the moment you give up your cookies, you might not get your cookies back. And so I'm not in
or
the
business
gonna
be expensive
giving out my cookies. They're going to be expensive cookies.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about all this. I think this is positive for domains, though, in the fact that anytime crypto goes up, the people that are making money in crypto tend to be the more intelligent people, and they tend to be founders and builders, and they use that money to take that and build. And when they build, they use domain names. So I feel like it does come back to us that all roads lead to domains. So
yes,
crypto being
right
up is
now
a good
we're
thing
in the black
for us.
Hole moment. In my
no, opinion, no, no,
black
yeah,
hole moment where crypto, Bitcoin is just sucking in all of the capital in the world. Free capital is anybody who has capital that's making a decision about what to do with that capital, they're putting it in Bitcoin, because to do anything else is a losing.
And they're not
going to
spend that
on
Bitcoin.
A relative basis.
No.
So I agree that in the midterm, this bull market will be very good for domains. But in the run up, you know, we got kind of like a double halving. This ETF kind of acts very similar to a halving event. It's putting a pressure on the demand, which ultimately creates a supply shock in the same way that a halving does. And in fact, this one correlates directly with the impact of the 2013 halving on that demand supply function. And so you've got sort of this first halving, which is the ETF launch. Massive moves, obviously,
Then you get May 20th.
And then in about 30 days, 35 days or something, we're going to have the real halving, which will actually be a significantly less impact than the ETF because, you know, we're going to, I don't know, I think it's only about 900 Bitcoin a day that we're going to remove from the market, you know, whereas there's about 4,000 Bitcoin a day being consumed by the ETFs. And so we're already in a supply crunch, and this will exacerbate it, but only, you know, with less impact than the actual ETF launch. So I don't know.
See what we did there? He wasn't in a good mood. We got him in a good mood. Now we can move on and start talking about domains. But now we got his blood pumping. You didn't see that? That's our little warm up. That's our shoot around with Drew. It's everybody like bad blast.
Yeah, I love Drew it. Yeah, doing no, some hey, look, we got Mark on the show, and he's like, guys, come on, enough about the shitcoin. Yeah, like, let's talk domains. We got a domain expert in this piece, and we're talking too much other stuff. All right, enough talk about crypto and shit coins and the king Bitcoin. But let's slide into the domain game. Let's get some domain talk. Drew, you are the upper right corner on my screen, which would mean you would lead with a buy or a sell. What you got? You got something for the squad? Maybe something I don't know about, so I can participate.
After all these times, you'd think I would have prepared.
Oh man, welcome to the show.
You want me to go while you're looking?
Wait, have we talked about layer one before? I think we did. We talked about that one. Let's see. Yeah, Shane, you go, and then I'll go.
Yeah, I think I put most of mine on Twitter, but I had one that I thought was interesting that I was bidding on, so I'll just go ahead and use it. It's apc.net, and it was a sale. Wasn't mine though, but it was a sale. APC.net. Okay. Great letters, but it's a .net. So
yeah, this is interesting. All right. So Mark, I don't know if you've been watching the show, but we put it on our phones and then we flip. So as a way to not have everybody game everybody else's guesses and things. All right. APC.net, and this was a sale.
Sale.
APC.
That's all the info I'm giving.
All right.
APC.net sale. All right. APC.net sale. APC PCs are a good business right now. Everybody trying to do the doomsday prepping.
APC.net. All right. I'm ready when you all are. Mark?
All right. I'm just going to take a guess because I'm not a .net.
That's all any of us are doing.
Nobody's going to stay.
That's why I put it up there.
Oh, I got one that's going to make that one look easy.
You take your phone or calculator.
Oh, well, I was going to say what you just said. I was going to say 15 grand, but
all right. Well, I'm 14,999. You're 15.
And I'm 7,495. All right. So,
I'm under.
JT took it. It's $4,005.
Woo. Okay.
$4,005.
What platform?
That was a good question. That was GoDaddy. GoDaddy Auctions.
All right. So GoDaddy Auctions. That's pretty light.
It was interesting because .NETs are all over the place. And the three-letter .NET just, I mean, Q.com sold for $11,000 yesterday. So a shitty three letters are now $10,000. And APC is a solid letter. So I was curious what it would go for at auction.
It sold for that price. Like if it was three random but good letters, it would have been 1200 to $2,000. Yeah. And but you know, with alternative power, you know, what is it? APC's alternative power.
Yeah, I don't know what the last letter stands for.
consumption. Something. Charger.
Turf. APC. Let's...
I don't know.
Oh, they don't even say. They just say interruptible. Power. Yeah, I don't know what it stands for anyway. I see all the blocks, the power blocks. What is APC?
Oh, maybe APC is just the brand. Maybe it's just the brand APC.
I see a lot of that.
It says a flagship brand of Schneider Electric. So yeah, all those things, those APCs you see are actually just a brand. It doesn't represent anything. But yeah. A lot of it's
Schneider Electric. Backup. Man, that's Schneider Electric. You guys started out making sewing machines. That's what a hell of a company.
No way, really?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Pivoting at its finest.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I wonder if that... Are they privately held or are they...
It looks like it. Yeah. It doesn't have a ticker sign next to it. So yeah. Yeah. No, they're doing pretty good. I think the only, you know, Braden Pollock.
Wow. Yeah. Still, this is one of those old European family owned businesses, still family owned French.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Batteries. You know, they're probably in Alsace. They're like French German. Very interesting. Oh, wow. And, gonna bring it back to domains, baby. They own SE.com. Schneider Electric is SE.com.
Wow.
So
and they own APC.com.
They are bucking the trend. Privately owned French business, generally some of the cheapest human beings on earth, particularly when it comes to domains, maybe not online. They own SE.com. That's crazy to me. That's crazy. Well, good looking out. I mean, it's great management. For a company that old to be making moves like that, I mean, I'm not saying they've probably owned this for a long time, but that's impressive. That's very impressive to me.
They bought APC.com too for that brand, for the actual brand of batteries. So they bought the .com on that as well. So,
well, I think
somebody's
company,
good.
APC, the company,
probably got bought out.
I think it's a New England company. They got bought by Schneider Electric.
Yeah, so probably a different move. But still, kudos to all of them for having the perfect domains.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So, all right, cool. Well, I'll take the point. And then, so next up, it could be Drew or Mark, either one of you, whoever wants to go next.
Mark sounds like he has a hard one.
All right.
Yeah, let's go.
I sold Portage, Portag, .id.
Well, hold on.
Portage.
Like carry
a canoe.
Portage dot
ID.
ID.
Oh, you had me till ID.
Wow.
This is
a good one, man. I like this a lot. There's a lot to talk about on this.
I was today's year old when I found out about dot ID.
Portage.id.
What company is that? Is that Indonesia?
Yes.
Oh, that was going to be my, I was going to ask that. Portage.id. You know, it's funny. I had it in your bio, Mark, too, where I was going to say that, you know, you invest in, domains in the publishing space, or you had domains in the publishing space, including fiction.com, which you sold.
For Mark.
Yeah, that's a whole story. You could have a whole episode about
that. No way, really?
Oh, yeah. All kinds of stories.
Oh, that's cool.
And
it was like a Sopranos episode, actually.
Oh, dude, that sounds like I'm loving it. And I was going to say, anyway, beyond that, though, shortbrandable.com, but keyword rich names in one word, IOCOs, AIs, GGs, and other CCTLDs. I know that you've been doing that for a minute. So so this dot ID is not super surprising, although I will agree that I don't even know that there was a dot ID. All right, let's get it. Let's see what's up. All right, you guys ready? Flip it.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
Drew, yours is on the your home screen. All right. So, okay. So
Buddha. Get your Buddha on.
All right.
Oh, so those are all close.
Is that the number?
Yeah.
Oh, then I win. I'm going to win the show today. Wait, hold on. So Drew had 2750. Shane had 3200. I had 4,995. And the right answer was what, Mark? It was 5,000.
55, 25. So you were close.
Look at that. Look at that. New winner in the clubhouse.
That's a real stab in the dark.
Look. Yeah. Hey, you know, but I will say we were all pretty, you know, we're all kind of in that
close.
You know, 3-5 grand kind of range, which seemed to make sense, but talk to us. So dot IDs, do you have a lot of these? And
I have like 50 of them and I sell a couple a year. They all are in that range.
Okay. What are the renewal fees like when you bought it?
$18.
And these were all like reg fee?
All hand reg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just good.
And all one good word. One words, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. I mean, you know, when we had Matt Overman on the show last week and we talked, I don't know if this made it into the cut, but, you know, if we talked about this a bit offline, but, you know, talking about for obviously with Identity Digital have, you know, they've got .io, they've got a handful of, you know, a couple of, and obviously hundreds of new Gs or descriptive domains, as we were calling them, and said, you know, they've got buyers that are very hip and keen on, you know, single letter, two letter, one word, you know, like just very, very particular on, you know, having, call it really good names of alternate extensions in their portfolio, you know, and do very well with them. And this is kind of very much in line with that. So what led you to dot ID? I mean, so it's the Indonesian registry. Where do you register them at?
Do it at Pork Bun or Sav, a lot of places.
Okay.
And a lot of techie type companies that can't get anything else good come there.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not for the one that can, you know, you can't get the IO, can't get the GG, you obviously can't get the com, but, you know, all the ones I've sold to have been, you know, I'd say second tier tech startup type companies.
Listen, my boss, Charlie Tuna, he used to say, there's a lot of money to be made in the gutter.
I agree. I mean, sure, I would love to own portage.com and sell that.
No, but I don't even mean that. I don't even mean that critically. I'm saying like there's a lot of money to be made in the gutter. Like everybody's chasing the whale, everybody's chasing the .com and the, you know, and if you know what you're doing and you're buying great SLBs, you can make money.
Yeah, it's easier than going up against you guys all the time.
Well, I think that the rules are, and tell me how you go about this, Mark, but my rule of thumb has been between talking to you and Logan Flatt, it needs to be in 200 or 300 extensions pre-registered before you even touch it. What's your magic number? I'm usually at 250. What's your magic number?
Over, depending on the extension, over 200 for sure. The crazier the extension, the higher the number.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense. That makes sense. Cause that means all the other alternatives are taken. And so they're moving down that list and you're hoping you're the highest of the left names. So,
yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense. Yeah. A lot of money in the gutter. Right. I learned
a lot of money in the gutter.
I learned
I like it, man. I think everything about that is really cool.
Cheaper stuff. It comes down to price points a lot of times, right? That's all it comes down to is price points.
Yeah, yep. Room on a credit yep. card.
Yeah. So that's I'm it. Sorry. Where did you sell it? You had it listed where?
That's why actually I'm quite surprised that you're over 5,000 because it's usually 5,000 is that credit card limit where people are like, oh, I'm going to bang the credit card and get this or not.
Sold it on Dan, and I think it was a negotiated. I must have had it. I have all these at like $64.99. So it must have. I have no idea how it got to $55.25, but it might be with an exchange rate or something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Dope. I think it's all good. And so that basically pays for pretty much your whole collection of .id domains, right? I mean, you sell one, you're in the money, and then
yeah, it's good. The two other .id investors are probably going to be pissed now that I
talk
about it. Shane,
I also know all the sales. I actually know all the sales. I know 100% of all the ID sales now. So I'm fully versed in the market.
After this show, there's going to be a run on .id.
Rage against the Levine by about two guys who I know.
Yeah. Rage against the Levine. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, that's actually the annual ID conference is going to double in size. We're going to like, hey, we need a table for four. For
it's
the
a
ID
table at the ICA.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. I love it. I love everything about it. That might even be the title of the show. We might even.
Yo. .id registry. Come and sponsor Domain Sherpa. We're giving you all this love. You're about to see your numbers pop.
We'll talk about it every week. Every week we'll go over all the sales. I promise.
Hey, today we registered. Dig it. All right, cool, man.
You would think Identity Digital would own a .id. Does Identity Digital even own? That seems to fit their name pretty good. They could say it was there.
Oh, that's actually super tight. I like that a lot, man. Yo.
Yeah.
Man. Matt at dot.
Who owns digital dot ID?
Well, we know there's only two people that own all of them. So we'll talk. Well, let me text Logan. I'll tell you.
Good one. Digital dot ID. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Handful of decent hacks, too. VO dot ID. But yeah. All right. Well, good stuff.
ID. There's all kinds of fun things. You can spend $1 million on this stuff.
Well, and in some cases, you
and
might
never get it back. All right.
all right. What you got?
All right. Let's go with, I'm going to stick with the theme of alternative extensions today. KYC.me.
KYC.me. KYC.me. You know, Water I actually. Sold. Yeah, so I'm out.
That's a sale.
Yeah, I'm out on this, so I know. But
I haven't bought a domain like that in a decade.
This is pretty cool. I can be out on this
right now. But I bought this. Let's see what the story is. I actually might have bought this a little bit later. Most of the we've got 20, 30 good, really good .me's that I bought at the get-go. When .me launched or relaunched. Let's see. JT, why is KYC.me not in our inventory?
Because you sold it?
No. Hey, that hasn't been processed yet.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay. So this is an exception, and everything I just told you is complete bunk. I bought KYC.me January 2nd, 2023. So little over a year ago, and I bought it on GoDaddy auctions. Oh wait, no, never mind. You got to guess the price first. JT can't guess. He knows.
Yeah.
Don't give it up. Well, he's already won, so he's feeling smug right over there. He's like,
I'm just chilling. Yeah, so I got this.
My sweatshirt's in the mail anyway.
But why did you said it wasn't pulling up in
the he's all nervous for his job now. He's like, whoa.
Not pulling up in the inventory.
He's like, all he's thinking about is work now. He doesn't have
to we got new rule. New rule. If it's not in the inventory, you don't get paid.
Ah, that's not cool. Come on, man. Come on. All the stuff I put up with. All right. Well, look. So let's go. You guys guess, and then let's see what's
all right. Good.
All right. I'm going. I'm not changing my number just because it's two people.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oof. I'm going to let you down.
I can't see Mark's.
Oh, so we got 50,000 and then Mark is 17,499.
Yeah. So, I mean, I told JT, I think the right number for this would have been 25, but we sold it for 10. I think, you know, whatever. We put a bid on it and somebody hit the bin. I think 25 was probably the right number. It's a really nice little brand. It, you know, it's just a
and KYC, automated KYC is huge. I mean,
yeah,
I'm looking through decks right now, and
I know
I've never seen a KYC company come through a deck. And right now, automated facial recognition, you know, blockchain oriented.
Well, the truth is two cycles ago, that was one of the hot two or even three cycles. Probably two cycles ago. The 2017 cycle, you know, you had Vinny Lingham. I sold identity.com. And then that company, you know, got built out doing, you know, KYC, digital identity. And then, you know, his original company, Civic, this is what they were doing, civic.com. They were doing this and he had a pretty good app. You know, there was never really a clear reason why I needed a token. Shout out Vinny Lingham, a lover of domains, an OG crypto guy. So, you know, there was a whole narrative around this years ago, and then it never really amounted to anything, and now it's making a comeback.
It's more of a technology than anything. Yeah.
Man, these guys are drilling holes and stuff. All right.
We don't hear it. No, good sale. I mean, as long as he made profit, that's all that matters. And is it end user?
So I mean, we bought it exactly a year ago. We bought it January 2023 for $565 on GoDaddy auctions.
Yeah.
So it's 20x in 1 year, you know.
Yeah,
we'll take it. You know, it hits the threshold, and I'm glad that you guys were able to guess. And I don't know who got the point, so I guess that was Mark.
Well, I was close.
Yeah, Mark got it.
You
Mark
actually weren't that bad. Yeah. Shane was way up there, but I couldn't. I
mean, I bought Notarize Me for the same exact reason, kind of like a call to action in KYCs.
Yep.
1,000x times that. So,
I always had a sweet spot for .me. I just think it's personal, you know. It's like,
I mean, there's a good call to action depending on what it does. I mean, we know they're not hot anymore. Remember, they went through that
thing
where .me certainly was not everything. So,
but I can't remember the last time I saw a .me sale. Yeah,
I haven't even seen it in the wild, honestly. Like when you come to a website,
somebody got a deal, a 10 grand. Somebody got a real, you know, that brand is going to punch above its weight.
Yep. You know exactly what they do when you see it.
Totally. It's catchy, memorable, easy to spell. It checks all the boxes.
And unique. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost better, you know, in a sense. It's just, it's catchier and more memorable than the .com is. I'm not going to say it's better domain, but it is a very catchy, memorable domain.
Yep. All right. Have you figured out your error over there, JT? Are you ready to roll?
I'm good. All right, well, cool. So congratulations to me. So I won the contest, won the battle, lost the war, you know, or some variation of that. But all good stuff on the domain game. I like that we touched on some alternate extensions with some really interesting stuff there. .id came into the mix, kyc.me, and apc.net.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. as pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value. Plus, through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All right, well, guys, let's get into NameJet and a Jet. So for everybody at home, know how we do this. We've got a bunch of domains that are coming up for auction on NameJet. If you go to the site, you can pull the spreadsheet, which will have the names, the Estabot appraisals, take those with a grain of salt, how many back orders as of the time that we record the show, when you need to have your back order in by, if you want to track the auction, although you can jump in on NameJet, Snap Names now. Midstream, it's just you wouldn't be following it with a current back order kind of thing, but none of this is financial advice, but we are going to dig in and see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like on the list. So you guys both have, or all three of y'all have the list in front of you.
Mark, go back and watch last week's show if you want to really dig into how all this works with NameJet. You guys did a great job bringing everybody on to kind of explain the process.
Yeah, no, that was great. We had Matt Overman, who with Identity Digital now, but he was actually general manager before I was general manager, and then I was the GM, and then after that was when the NameJet effectively was acquired, the full interest by web.com.
If you would have had Steve Brown on there, you literally would have had everybody that's ever run NameJet on the
crazy.
Of the company. Like, you were right there. It was a good show, and it's good for people to learn more about it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I thought it was great that those guys, came on, took the time. I thought, Mike was a good sport, especially because as the current GM, he's got to navigate some of that stuff. And, I thought he was really good, helping people understand some things, and then bringing Matt on to talk about some of his history and stuff. We didn't really even get into too much of what he does currently with Identity, although we did get into some of that towards the end of the show. And and interestingly enough, I didn't include it on today's list, but stevebrown.com is actually currently about to go into auction on NameJet, which is
wow, that's crazy.
Super random, right?
It's that's like, ironic. Yeah.
Exactly. But hey, Mark, you are
Steve Brown. Get
we actually own johnbrown.com. Because I saw it in an expiration auction. I was like, that's got to be like the second most common name after like John Smith.
Yeah, it's got to be. And I think two first names make great brands. I've always said that, like John Paul, it doesn't matter. You put two first names together, it always sounds like a fashion brand.
Jean Paul.
So. But hey, Mark, you are the super special guest today. So why don't you go and dig into the list first and tell us what you like and what you don't like and what you think.
All right. Well, first, let me just start with the first one. When I first read the name, which is obviously Dog Gramps, I thought it said Duke Gramps. So I could not understand how it had that valuation.
Well, I know without the Gramps, letters there.
You can read it a lot of different ways.
And
I knew it had no value as Duke Gramps.
That's not true. Sugar Grandpa would be a great show. Like, instead of a sugar daddy, you go a little older.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's a real creepy, it's a real creepy vibe that show would give off.
You didn't watch the Oscars then.
You want me to just tell you my favorite one?
Sure. Yeah.
Is wall panels. Because I've been searching for wall panels, and so I have a million different brands coming up all the time, and so that one completely resonated with me. And I also love recall.org as a great political site. People always are trying to recall politicians.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a site that could have all the ways to do it in every municipality and every county. So those are ones that just like stuck out. I also like Hello Again. My least favorite was probably Golden Parachute.
Okay.
It's just very limiting. It's kind of negative. And if you're a law firm that's
it's only really handling to Golden Parachute, the people without the Golden Parachute.
Right. You're not calling.
If you get them, it's good.
Yeah. You're not. I don't think that's how you are marketing. So those are my favorites.
Okay, cool.
I think those are all good. I dig all those. All right. Shane, Drew, who, Shane, you want to dive in next?
Yeah. I think it's a good list. This is one of the better lists over the last couple of months. So I think it's pretty good. I don't know if it's huge value, but as far as liquidity, I like Johnston. And the reason I like last names like that is people love to name companies after themselves. And the more popular the last name, the more value it has. And Johnston is a very popular name. Obviously, everybody leaves out the T or they spell it wrong. But in general, Johnson's it's going to be used by thousands of companies of people that have that last name. So that's one name that I think is pretty valuable. I'm a big Island person too. I just know that you see those above and beyond just being on Hawaii or Australia or an island. People love anywhere down south. They like to use the word island as well to make it sound more tropical and more like Island Air. Makes it sounds like you really can cover air conditioning very well. So I like the island names.
Yeah. So there were two of them, right? So
I guarantee you there's like 20 airlines in the Caribbean called Island Air.
Yeah. And that's
I didn't even think about the airlines. Yeah. I was thinking about eating an air. Yeah. No, much
there's
bigger.
Probably 20 market of them in the Caribbean.
Well, and is that why you think so? I included both the island names because I thought it was an interesting topic of conversation. The Island Air has a much higher estimate. I'm looking to see.
I bet.
Well, I think it has more SERP. Well, oh no, it's yeah. Well, it's interesting. The SERP is higher on Island Sun, but Island Air has a higher CPC and definitely a lot more exact, you know, average match.
Yeah. So Sun has more opportunity because it could be anything, but Air is probably flights or air conditioning.
Suntan
lotion. I think I like Air better because of the potential of higher price.
It's commercial.
But it's more commercial. But I think Island Sun would probably sell first just because I think it's anything. It'd be
Island Sun.
Yeah, so Island Air was an airline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They probably will be again.
They stopped. They ceased operations on November 10th, 2017.
Oh, so not really that long ago either. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it probably has some backlinks too. So it'll definitely go for a lot more. Yeah, definitely a lot better. But I'll go the other one. Yeah, I mean, that's probably my favorite. I mean, obviously ZTC. I'll be curious to see what ZTC because Z is normally not a good letter, but if you throw it at the very first letter, that's the best location for it. And then C at the end is always good. So I think if I were to predict that at wholesale on NameJet, I'd say it goes for, unless I'm forgetting something, maybe 20 grand even. Like, that's my thought. But Drew will say, oh no, ZTC stands for something that makes it worth a lot more. But that's my thoughts on it.
Well, what was the one you said just sold recently?
I like ZTC a lot.
What was the one you said just sold for, you know, not that much?
I had it. It was NDQ. It was just the last one alone. I just had it on my... Travis does a good job of recapping all this.
Oh, Island Air was a Hawaiian airline, Shane.
It makes sense. Usually, almost everything island seems to come up Hawaii or Australia is, you know, almost everything comes up those two. Obviously, there's millions of other islands, but those two really. ZBQ sold for $10,500.
That's literally like.
Q is at the end, is it couldn't be possibly. I mean, what are you going to use Q for?
It's like,
your last
like,
letter?
That's like the Shrek of threeletter.coms.
No, it's the bottom. There's Q at the end is the bottom. Q, Z. You just can't do anything with that letter. There's just only so much. Z at the end would even be worse, probably. I'm not sure what you're going to
use. Jack Welch's golden parachute was $417 million.
Love it. I know people don't like that. I know that's maybe he should buy in it. Our society. That's I think it'd be a great blog name.
Guess what I think about the people who think free markets and rewarding effort. I got special words for those people.
Yeah. I say nothing. I don't want to be attacked.
Yeah.
It's not worth
it. I'm immune.
Yeah, I choose to stay rich, but it doesn't mean that I like to flaunt it too often. Although, you know, it's funny. You can say anything. Like, you can work 30 years your ass off for 80 hours a week, and then you drive a nice car, and they're like, oh, it must be nice. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I only worked like 77,000 hours and gave up everything. But yeah, my car wasn't deserved. So I get it. But I get it. It's not something. Yeah. I get it. And again, we've on domains, we've what, been in it a decade of figuring this out, talking about it every day, being on a show, discussing domains, learning what sells, what doesn't sell. More than that. That's the thing. You can't see what's behind the heads down. We may look like a book publisher. We may look like a fisherman. We may look like a nurseryman, but every day we're like spending all this time looking at domain names and the companies that use them. So it's, that's why it's easy for you to, I get it. That's why it's easy for you to say, I don't care what they say. I knew the truth behind it. You don't have to explain.
I tweeted the other day, if you wouldn't ask somebody for their opinion, why do you care what they think?
Yeah.
That's, you know, like,
all right. I think that is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's totally
a very good quote.
Use of Twitter. Why anybody would go on Twitter?
Yeah.
And most people, swinging are swinging up anyway, right? That's the other statement. Like, if they're swinging at you, they're usually swinging from below.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Drew, what about you? What else you like or don't like on the list? And Shane, were you done? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, I talked about every name, so I left Drew. I left Drew Carly. What do you think about Carly, Drew?
I really like ZTC. I don't know for what, but it ends in C. That's corporation. That's company. That's coin. That's, you know, crypto. There's just a lot of. I like it. Yellow Onion will leave for our boy Peter. Yeah, I mean, my two favorite, the names I really like on here are what Shane said. It's Island Air and Johnston.com. EICO is a great name. Ends in Co, right? So you need some company whose initials are EI, and it's almost like a two-letter for them. So, you know, that's a nice domain for sure. It's at a well above average four-letter.com. If you can get it for a more or less average four-letter.com price, you found an arbitrage opportunity, right? So if that thing trades like an average four-letter.com and you can get it for that price, it's a well above average four-letter.com that will have a much higher sales propensity and ultimately a higher sales price. So I think that is a good deal if at the right price. Johnston.com is a banger. Islandair.com is it's probably going to go for too much money because it's going to catch a bunch of the SEO value. I don't really love anything else on here. What is a dog ramp exactly, and why do
it's for so people with short dogs? People have short dogs that want to sleep on the bed.
Old dogs. Or old,
yeah. Or old dogs.
Because they can't walk up in the bed of a pickup truck.
We had a dog who had gotten to be 13 and she was pretty sick. She was going through like treatment, chemo and stuff. She had a tumor and, you know, she could not get in and out of the car without help. So we actually bought a dog ramp and that was, which we probably Googled by way of dog ramp and came up on dogramp.com, you know. And actually bought a dog ramp that we used for our dog in those last, couple of months. And it's for short dogs.
It's a big enough category to have its own site. I mean, it's a big enough category to work off that domain. That's not true for all of them. I mean, you get a lot of people say, I got this. I'm like, we don't sell that many, but dog ramps, I see it at the nursery. I saw them all the time. I knew there was going to be some old dog or little dog coming out of the back when those ramps came out.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's it. So that's what it is, you know, which is why I included it on the list. So what about EICO? What do you guys think about that? Like, is no one's mentioned that one, you know?
No, he did.
I did mention it pretty extensively, in fact.
Yeah, like 7 minutes of it.
Oh, my bad. My bad. I fell asleep for a second there. All right, sweet. Did we talk about Mighty Warrior? Did that happen? Anybody talk about
it? No, but we're going to pretend it did, and we're going to move on.
All right, fair enough. All right, good stuff.
It's garbage.
They're all fine. I mean, Hello Again is a very nice name, and I'm sure it could be something good, but it's going to be a hard sell, and it could be waiting a long time.
Yeah. Well, and I think it all comes back to what we say all the time on the show, which is, you know, it's commercial application and, you know, which drives a lot of the value, existing end users or, you know, something that can be brandable. But I do like Hill Logan as well. I think that one's pretty cool. So, all right. Well, that's the list. That's NameJet Gonna Jet. And so we'll keep it moving and slide into what is the last segment, which is the grand closing, where we'll kind of do a little round robin, allow anybody to talk about anything that we haven't already covered. I will actually start with a reminder. I've mentioned this in the open, in the intro. Is that, you know, NamesCon is coming up. We will be live in Austin, Texas. We're excited to see some people. In fact, Drew himself, the one and only, might make a live physical appearance.
Well, I have officially, as of yesterday, I bought my flights. So I have an extremely inconvenient flight to Austin, Texas. So I will be there.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Let's go.
Short of some, you know, unforeseen event, I will be there. Flights are booked.
Hotels, are you guys going, Mark?
I think they're booked.
I'm not going. I got something most that of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm only going because you two are going. I was waiting to make sure you're both there.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's
I'm going. This is going to be my first domain event in 5 years, which is very strange to me. But first domain event in 5 years. I haven't seen anybody except my team and a couple of handful of people that have popped through Lisbon. So I'm excited. I'm very excited to, you know, get back in the mix, see everybody, catch up with everybody, get up on stage and rap about domains a little bit. I got a few panels I'm going to be on, which I'm excited about. It's going to be some surprises, all sorts of stuff. I'm pretty pumped. I'm pretty pumped. Other than, I don't know, I just don't, I don't like the idea of flying to Austin.
That's very just a bit of a challenge. But for what it's worth, you know, NamesCon, so June 5th through the 8th in Austin, Texas. So go to namescon.com, check it out, get your tickets, get registered, all that good stuff. We did. I got my flight. Actually, we're doing the thing. So it's going to be Texas in the summertime. Let's get it, you know. And but definitely looking forward to seeing people.
Lady Bird Lake's good place to run around.
Is that what? All right, we'll have to do the run this time, you know. So
yeah, I won't be running.
I'll do that with y'all. I'll run briefly.
We had a pull up contest last time at the pre COVID. We had a good run. That's where.
What did the numbers look like?
It was solid. Who would you think, just of the people you know, who would you think is the most fit for pull ups or practices full pull ups? And I will say, Amar was not there, but he was inspired, I believe.
Well, that's right. He was doing them like off site. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say Seiger
too. Yeah. I was going to say Seiger too. I think Amar's
so Seiger was right there. Yeah. It's who trains for him, though. It turned out to be Aaron Wilkin, I believe. Aaron Wilkin.
But then he's beast mode because he's not a light dude. You know what I mean? Like, the guys that are usually really good at pull-ups have, skinny legs. They got wide shoulders. They got a big back. But everything else is narrow. They got a small waist. They got small legs. Yeah. You know, they're light, but they got heavy upper body. You know, that was me back in the day when I was, you know, training a lot and I was in very good shape. I was a pull-up monster. I guarantee you I'd crush anybody. Not anymore, but at that time. I went to the X Games and I won a pull-up contest against the Marine Corps. And I don't remember what I won. But it was like it was at the Extreme, you know, X Games. And they had a Marine Corps pull-up contest. I crushed every single Marine. I think I did 30, 36 or 38 pull-ups. And those are full Marine Corps pull-ups. All the way down, all the way up, all the way down, all the way up. And I did over 30. It was like 36. And but I think today I can do about 10, 11. If I lost five pounds and I actually worked on pull-ups, I think I can get back to 15, but pretty quick. But it's hard.
Yeah, we did. It was, yeah, it's a lot harder than you thought. And Seidiger is obviously good, but he had a one-year pull-up challenge where every day.
How many did he get? What did Seidiger get?
I don't remember. I know he was in the 20s or 30s, but I think Aaron didn't stop. He just kept going till we were all like standing around like, okay, that's good, like you don't have to go anymore, you're way above her, because he's still just looking at us like, is that enough.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, he's a different beast, but it was a good turnout. But, like,
wow, anybody you know, not in their 20s that's doing over 20 pull-ups.
Yeah, these guys are all in their 40s.
In my opinion, there is no better indicator of general health. There are exceptions to that, but like, I don't think there's a better indicator of your general health, a general physical health, than your ability to do pull-ups. Like, your ability to lift and hold your body weight, in my mind, is the greatest test of your just general physical ability.
Yeah. And this is all at NamesCon. We all went, I mean, to think that there were 30 plus people out there meeting in the morning at like 7 a.m. to go running was pretty cool. And it inspired. I mean, that's where we all met Jason. I tell this story all the time. We came back from the run, we're laughing, we all had breakfast, everybody's in a good mood, and he's just standing there, and he was, you know, obese. And he looked at us and he said, "Gentlemen, next year I'm going to be running with you guys." And that week later, he started posting his physical fitness every day of showing what he was doing. We were all cheering him on. We all got to know him as a person. Before that, nobody knew Jason, but you know, unfortunately it didn't work out well, but he was definitely, that's kind of where it all came together, as people were inspired to gain physical health at NamesCon. Like, that's not of NamesCon. That's not what you expected to learn, but yet you get to know, just like Drew said, you get to see people in person, you get to know what they do, you pick up a lot above and beyond domains. There's a lot more going on. It's just ICA was great. ICA was amazing. There was no really many talks. You just kind of talked business. You talked to the people that showed up, were top-notch people. Amazing. It was one of my best conferences ever.
It's a great event.
Yeah, it's one of the best I've been to, because I really got to learn. You know, we always say where you really learn are those drinks or meetings afterwards or those dinners. And because it wasn't such a big group, we kind of all did that together instead of splitting up into 70 different parties. We kind of broke into four or five, or we all went to the same place. So you really got to talk to everybody instead of just the same five people that you talk to online, right? That's one of the problems, is you go there and you talk to the friends you see every day. It's kind of nice to meet new people and to talk about, to talk about things you don't normally talk about and learn more about our industry. So that's what I hope we can do more of. And that's why smaller things work sometimes better than big things.
Yeah, it all depends on who shows up, right? For those, you know, I think having the smaller events, I've mentioned this a few times, when I went out to China back in the day, and it was a very small group of Americans or Europeans, you know, non-Chinese folks that were there, including like Paul Nix and Frank Schilling. And, you know, there's just a lot of people but there were only a few of us. So everybody really got a lot of time to kind of just talk to folks that, you know, you would love to have a conversation with, but you don't necessarily always get that at big conferences when there's a lot of people. But having, you know, it's one thing if it's a small amount of people, but it should be the right people there in that small group. And that's really where the magic happens. But, you know, looking forward to see how NamesCon, I mean, some of those NamesCon early days in Vegas were pretty cool, you know, where we got, you know, you kind of got pockets of that as well. And it'll be interesting to see based on who shows up for this year's conference in Austin. But, you know, the fact that Drew's going to be there is going to get a lot of people excited. A lot of people hyped up to see Drew in person. You know?
Yeah, he didn't make it.
I don't know about that.
No, but all good. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be great.
And we won't make you buy the check. I promise. That's the thing. We're not having you just to buy dinner. That's maybe one night, but not every night. I promise.
Yeah, not every night. You know, but the Sherpa dinner.
Not every night.
But the Sherpa dinner. Thank you.
And Austin's a lot more affordable in LA. I mean, I'll give you that.
Yeah, or Vegas.
Yeah.
Or Vegas. Yeah. So. Austin has some good quality. I mean, that's a good thing about Austin. There's plenty to do. But you got to hop over from Dallas. That's the big problem. For me, it works out great. We have a direct flight from Dallas.
My options are London Heathrow, Charles de Gaulle, Paris, Philly, DC.
You can't go into Dallas?
Or Boston. No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to make the stop.
Usually Dallas.
It's
definitely Heathrow, Dallas. I take Heathrow, Dallas all the time. But you've got to hop over to Heathrow, then to Dallas, then to Austin. Yeah.
Heathrow goes right to Austin, doesn't it?
Yeah, Heathrow flies right to Austin.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, real quick. So I just wanted to obviously, you know, kind of do the plug for NamesCon. Got the live auction happening with Monty and all that as well. He's probably already hitting your inbox if you've got names or if you've bought names in the past. But Mark, what else you got going on, man? What else is happening in your world?
You know, I just bought back an asset I had sold when I sold my company. It was this real big online independent publishing magazine. At the time was very big, and the company bought me was big, and they just gave up on it. I bought it back, and it still gets a ton of traffic, and it's 15,000 backlinks. And I have a better name. I have an upgraded version of the name, so I'm going to see, you know, if I can.
Is that going to go in the drop cap deal?
This one is not because I just.
There's no cap to make it happen.
Nobody wanted to service it, including them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And it's taken me like 6 months to get it fixed. Like there was no SSL. It was.
Yeah.
It was on a WordPress theme that was like 8 generations old.
Yeah.
So it was abandoned, but now it's almost ready to go. And, you know, I'm going to see if.
Oh, that's interesting. So a couple of quick things, you know, so as far as you were able to preserve all the backlinks and everything moving to the new.
Well, the site's still up. It's never gone down. It's just they just stopped servicing. So they're happy to get rid of it. You know, we'll see. It's my time may have passed for all that stuff.
Yeah. Have you changed? Are you changing?
Every day you lay in bed watching an episode of Sopranos is another day you're not. You're not learning about SEO. 100%.
100%.
All good. Yeah, so you know, are you changing, you changing the front end?
Eventually. I got to just see if I can build traffic up to where it was. You know, there's a lot of ifs.
Got it.
You know.
All right. I dig it. Hey, so one other thing.
We're doing a little painting in my office.
Yeah, it's all good. You're getting that looking sharp. Mark, have you had experience doing catalog stuff at all with any of your publishing stuff in the past? Have you ever done any catalog stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a conversation about that. We're working on something that could be an interesting
moment. Call me.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. Well, cool, man. So
I don't even know why that didn't occur to me, but Mark is definitely our dude for that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, more to follow there. Well, good luck with the old new site. You know, that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And once it's, you know, ready to, so you're not, are you doing some sort of announcement? When are you like?
Yeah. Once it's like, doesn't look like shit. And once it has an SSL certificate, I mean, I'm not.
No doubt. Well, let us know, man. You want to come back on and talk about it? We could talk. We'll do a deeper dive. All right. Well, cool, man. Well, good luck with all that stuff and all that. All right. What about you, Shane? I know you're.
I've kind of been heads down managing my portfolio again, making sure just making sure it's organized. You know, when you're doing 50 million things, you don't have everything on one sheet of where you have it parked, how much it is. I tried to build up squad help. I think Darpan, meeting him at ICA, listening to him talk, listening to other people's success stories, moving my brandables over there to try and test out what squad help's doing. I will say what they do that other people aren't doing and why they're not doing it, I don't understand. They give data. Everybody loves to see how many people visit it, how many people mark it on a short list, how many people you know, put it in contest. How there's just so much information there about it that makes you feel good. And whether you sell the domain or not, that intermediate time of having that information in front of you, that you had seven people put that name on a short list for a final choice of a name, it's just, that's what everybody needs to do, kind of gamify the back end of it. I think they're doing a really good job of that. The process is AI. So I will say, I'm seeing the future of what aftermarket should look like in our industry. So I'm really happy with that. So that's something I've been really trying, just to put 200 or 300 names up there and just have them work, see what happens. Talking a lot of data with people, making sure the sell-through rates, you know, I'm figuring out that I'm going to be at 1.5 to 1.7. If I can beat that, then I'm doing a good job. I'm making sure what we all need to do, and we talk about on the show for 10 years, everything's got to have a lander, everything's got to be at a certain price, everything has to be the most visible it can be, and keep that all up to date at all points in time. So that's really what I've been doing these last couple months. And then my fucking taxes, crypto is going to take me 3 weeks. I got 1,100 pages of crypto taxes to do.
What?
Yeah, 1,100 pages. I do. But every time I get an airdrop or everything that does it, it just marks it, right? It doesn't know how to handle airdrops. It can't follow everything. Yeah, it's 1,100 pages. And my accountant is like, you're going to hand me a number. I use tax software. Don't get me wrong, but the tax software does not get it all right. I got to go through all of them and make sure that they're all correct. And I sell my airdrops immediately to make sure they're, you know, the taxes are covered right there, so I have a value. But between domains, 10K1s, crypto, and the nursery, my taxes, I need to do a lot of work before that's a full-time job. Done.
So here's a question, because I think this is good for all the domainers out there. So tending to your garden, which is, you know, like kind of an, you know, sort of an appropriate metaphor for you. Do you see it having like tangible results, right? Obviously being more organized and everything, but now that you're spending more time on it, pricing it, testing, doing some more AB stuff, you know.
100%. I've sold 5 times more names than I've ever sold this year, because I kind of knew what the price was, but I'm thinking, okay, I spent $3,000 for that. No, sometimes I spent $10 and I'm pricing it like it's $15,000 domain. I'd rather get the money out of some of those. So the ones that I'm going through and just double reminding myself of what I paid for everyone and making sure the price is according. And it's kind of like what I did in the nursery business. There is a price based on what you paid, but also the price is based on what it's worth. And that price, what you paid, is not always the same. Sometimes you made a great buy and it's worth way more than the multiple. And there's other times where you didn't get it right and you got to get rid of it and you got to move it. Nobody's made any offers for 10 years and you got to move the name and lower that price. I'm having the time to do that. And it's turned into a lot of sales. I'm really happy. Nothing big, but those $3,000 and $5,000 and $7,000 make a big difference. To have $20,000 a month in sales really lets me buy more names. My portfolio, I've gone from 500 to 600 in the last 2 months, all paid for by domain sales instead of anything out of my pocket. And that's because I'm doing it full time. I'm putting in the work. I just didn't have that time. You could say I did, but I really didn't. There was no more hours left in my day before. So
And that's a super interesting point.
It's a job.
Yep. And we've been doing a lot of, you know, sort of discussing that piece about time allocation to tending to our own garden, like all that kind of stuff, because, you know, it's both, you'll sell more names, obviously, but then, you know, you'll also get the right value for your names if you're pricing them properly. And I think then trying to find that right balance between, hey, you know, and Drew gives me a hard time all the time because we got a lot of names, right? So when I go through pricing exercises, sometimes I'll use what we bought the name for, and he's like, why are you doing that? At the end of the day,
it's irrelevant. In my opinion,
it's relevant and lazy. Irrelevant. You know, and you know, we say it on the show all the time, you make more, you know, you make your money on the buy more so than on the sale, right? Because if you're buying it at a really good price, and then it's going to sell for what it's going to sell for, right? Unless you're liquidating or doing something like that. So ultimately, you know, pricing it properly is key. I think, you know, finding the right avenues and you know, distribution channels right for your names is also very, very important. and you know, an understanding based on what your name, you know, the names that you have, how do you reach out to the folks that are the best buyers for those names, you know? And
yeah, I mean, it's what's going to help you sell the name. It's the quality of the name, the and how it's presented, like who's going to see it, right? You want to use everything you can to help sell the name. The name itself is going to do the most work. A better quality name will help sell. But above and beyond that, you need to get in the pathways to sales. And so that's what you've got to analyze, your name, and say, what are the pathways for this particular type of name that are best for that name? Sure. And that's what we're learning. If it's a high quality name, it's a little more simple. They're going to come to you, people want it. But if it's a brandable, then you go to the people that give you the most eyeballs for the brandable, for the value of what they're going to charge you to get those eyeballs. And that's what you have to learn and test and try. And you're going to have everybody tell you a different person. The same person will say, well, Afternic's the best. One will say Squad. People say, no, FD's perfect because of the value, because they give me, I don't have to pay very much and I sell less names, but I make more money. Everybody has their own thing. But when it comes down to it, you still have to work at it and you have to learn what works best for you and have to take advantage. You have to be in the Afternic pathway if you're a brandable name. You just have to. If you're not, you're not a domain investor. It has to be in there. That's where everybody's coming through. But that also means there's other ways that you can utilize your name to get eyeballs. But it has to be part of the process. It's just where we're at.
And so let me pivot over to Mark. Mark, for you, where do you have everything listed at Afternic? What about the CCTLDs and those names that are a little bit more nuanced?
Afternic doesn't take all of those, but Dan takes all of them. So as long as Dan is alive, they're alive. Cito takes a lot of them also.
Yep. You mix and match. You have it everywhere? Like what where do you
have it
parked?
Everywhere. Huh? Okay.
And then as far as, do you have them parked at Afternic so that you get the discounted rate?
I have most parked at Dan. I went from Afternic back to Dan.
Does Dan give you the discount on the Afternic
side? Yeah, it's the same. But if you want to do some things on a lease to own, the way the lease to own shows up on Dan is better than Afternic, I think, for the end user.
Okay.
You have to go through a couple layers of... You go one way on Afternic, you don't see it. But I go back and forth. I play around with it.
Okay. So, I mean, are you spending like time every day kind of nurturing, tending to the garden, if you will?
And I'm in the process of starting to automate some of my stuff because my portfolio has gotten too big and it's too unmanageable. And so now I can't really grow without some automation tools.
Okay.
I'm just stuck. All I'm doing is tending the garden.
Such as?
Well, I'm trying to do just even some basic ones where I'm comparing what I have at all these different registrars to what's actually on my list and what I've kept, what I've dropped. Just those kind of cleanups take a lot of time. And then especially in some of these CCTLDs and GTLDs, you know, getting in when it's a $4 buy, you know, I have a year to see if it's worth to keep at 40 or 50 bucks, but that kind of stuff can take up a lot of time. So I've had to cut some of that out. So those kind of things, just cleaning up, you know, all the CCTLDs and GTLDs sound awesome when you're doing it, but they're more work also, and the cost is more. So, you know, experimenting on the front end is one thing, but then cleaning that up on the back end is another. So as mine has grown, I can't do that as much. It takes too much time without some level of automation.
So, and where are you looking at for tools and things?
Well, I'm looking at a friend. You know, it's got to be someone you can trust because they have access to all your stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, opposed to like out of the box type of, so you're not necessarily going.
No, not an out of the box thing. Like somebody who can help me kind of craft something that I can, just manages just what's coming and going better.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. So, all right. Well, good stuff. Good stuff. I think that's great insight, man. Appreciate you sharing. Same thing, Shane. So these are good lessons for everybody out there that are all kind of fighting some of the same battles. So
you just have to stay with it, though. I mean, that's what I'll say about domains. If you don't do it daily, Mark put it well, you're not going to keep up. You know, you help Drew, and Drew has a team to help him with his names. It can be done by a person, but that means every day you need to go through what you bought that day, get into a spreadsheet, make sure everything, where everything is, make sure the pricing is right. And you have to do that every day, because if you come back a week later, now you can't do it.
Like, yeah, 100%.
Try coming back like 2 years.
You have to stay
later.
On top of it.
Oh, yeah, I do that. The minute I buy, I'm doing the pricing. I'm doing it right then.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will say your reps, if you're, and you guys can talk to this because your reps are my reps. But if you want to change your Afternic prices or you want management, they will help you. Like for mine, I wanted to raise everything by 15%. I talked to my rep. I gave him a spreadsheet. I said, these are the prices I'd like to change them. I didn't have to go in and change 400 names to the new prices. They're very kind about going in there and changing them for that. So people that take money from you through commissions, let them earn those commissions by giving you the service. And in return, you will sell more domains because you've done all that. So take advantage of the tools that are free to you. And then inch by inch, life's a cinch kind of thing, man. Just pick at it. Don't wait to the end. You'll just
inch by inch, life's a cinch, baby. I like that. All right. On that note, I think that's all good. Drew, unless you have any final thoughts, I kind of went around the room sort of backwards, but.
No, I mean, I'm really excited about a new partnership we're going to be announcing here with Rally Road, and a new sort of structure by which we're going to start taking domain names to the public market again. DomainX Media Options ultimately going to act as basically the asset manager, and we are going to be collecting and co-investing into these domain assets. And so, you know, if you are a fan of Domain Sherpa and you think that maybe I know what I'm doing and you like the track record that I've got, well, I'm going to be selecting domains, taking them public, and you will have the opportunity to invest alongside of me in these assets on Rally Road. So, I'm pretty excited about it. Our first, can I say the first name, the first domain?
Yeah, you could go ahead and say it.
So we are taking MJ.com public. We're going to take one of the best two-letter.coms in the world, and we're going to take it public on Rally Road. We are taking it public basically at my cost, plus some service fees that are not mine. But basically, you're buying MJ.com at the price that I very gladly bought MJ.com. MJ.com has previously sold for a multiple of what we are taking it public at. I had the good fortune of buying it back after selling it, and then again getting into a lease transaction that generated a lot of cash. We've now gotten the domain. We've bought the domain back entirely, 100%. And we are taking it public so that you can participate if you so choose. And I'm pretty excited about it. We're going to see how this goes. And if y'all demonstrate that this is something you're interested in and there's demand out there, we're going to do a lot of them. And I'm really excited about it because I love investing in domains. But at some point, you know, I've always wanted to have like a domain fund because I have so many people that always say like, oh, I want to invest in domains with you. But it's messy and it's not something I want to administer. And so this basically gives me the ability to buy a domain name with anybody else. I don't need to know you. You can just participate. And on rallyrd.com. I think we're going to have a landing page up soon in a few days on MJ.com with the details. But I think the plan is in less than 2 weeks, this thing's going to go public on Rally Road. So if you are interested and want to learn more, feel free to reach out to us. Feel free to reach out to Rally Road. But otherwise, you will hear more from Rally Road and from us in the very near future.
Yeah, man. Cool. Very, very excited. So that's going to be some good stuff. Yeah. And
Rally Road's amazing. I've been
It's amazing.
I don't know, five or six years. And I've done so well. I mean, I bought the most many Ferraris.
Yes.
I show people my Ferraris all the time. Like, they'll say, is that your Ferrari? And I go, yeah, that's my Ferrari. Right. I own this Ferrari.
Give me 2 minutes. I'm about to flex. Okay. This is a dad flex. All right. So I messed up. My daughter wanted a pair of Jordans. Okay. She wanted the Carolina blue Jordans. And so my wife told me, and I was like, oh yeah, all right, let's get it for her. So that's what we got her, you know, one of the things we got her for Christmas. So we get her these Jordans, but well, actually what we ended up getting by this, again, this is where I messed up. I just saw the Carolina blue. And I was like, oh yeah, those are the ones, but it wasn't the Jordans. It was the
Force.
The Dunks. What do you call them? Mm-hmm.
I think they're whatever, called Dunks. Whatever. I don't know. That's what
yeah, Dunks. Yeah. It's the Dunk. You know, it was the Dunks. It wasn't the Jordans. Okay, it wasn't with the Jordan. Basically the same thing, but doesn't have the Jordan guy on it. So, anyways, these three boys in her class who are like Jordan sneakerheads, were ragging on her because she's like, "Oh, I got the Jordans," and they're like, "Those aren't Jordans." And so they were like ragging on her. Right. Oh, she came home. Oh. She was all upset. She's like, "You didn't even get me the Jordans." She wasn't even mad. She was just like, I went in saying I got Jordans and they weren't Jordans. And like, she was sad. And so I was like, all right, I'm not standing by. This was my bad. I messed this up. So went on Rally Road and bought a big old chunk of the first game worn Jordans ever. Right. And there was like trading at like, I don't know, like 200 grand, 175, 200 grand, something like that. So I went in and I bought a big old chunk of that. And then I was like, look, you can go back to school now and you can tell your friends that, yes, I'm not wearing my Jordans because the Jordans I've got are so valuable. Nobody's going to put them on their feet. Right. I got the game one. I got game one, game worn Jordans. And so anyway, she did. Then I'm at a birthday party I go to pick her up from a birthday party on Sunday and those kids are all there. And so she had told him that, you know, like, I don't know, some weeks ago or whatever. And it was the first time I saw these kids. You know, we were gone for 2 months. So I see these kids and they're like, Mila said, you know, you bought some of the Michael Jordan game one journey sneakers. Is that true? We don't believe her. So I pull out my Rally Road app and I was like, here you go. And I was like, even better. Guess what? I actually just sold them yesterday for $275,000 because somebody actually came in and made an offer on Rally Road for $275,000.
Yeah,
and all the shareholders approved it. So literally the day before I see these kids, I just sold them for $275,000.
I'm gonna flex on some 8-year-olds real quick.
They were just jaw dropping. Yeah, but you know, you're like standing up for your daughter, man. It was like
everything about it was cool, man.
Yeah,
like that's how people are gonna feel about MJ. They're gonna tell everybody they all MJ. They're all going to say, you know, I own MJ.com. It's going to be $7.
I mean, it's like, how dope for me. I mean, to me, you know, MJ.com, it's like Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Michael Jackson, marijuana, like Mahjong. Like this is one of the most.
It lets you participate. Rally Road lets you participate and own a piece of the things that you couldn't own.
Alternative assets.
And you can make money on it. I mean, I've sold all five of my Ferraris and I've made like $5,000. I always joke that I would sell enough to buy a Ferrari, but I've done great with it.
It is. Hey, yeah, Mark, do you participate at all in Rally Road?
I did it early on.
Okay.
I haven't in a while.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like out of sight, out of mind for me a decent amount. But when I mess with it, when I'm like in the flow of it, like
it's super addictive. You can buy one share, you'd be like, oh wow, it's a dope Rolex. Let me buy a share. Like so, and you know, without going into too much, you know, behind the curtain, you know, they have really focused their efforts now on the secondary market to bring these end users that want to come buy these assets off the platform to create more liquidity. And create more turnover on the platform, and it's working. Like today, I just sold the Lamborghini Countach Turbo that was on there. $5,000 of shares of.
That was like $1 million. Was that $1 million offer that came in?
$1 million, doubled the. It was trading at 400,000+ 2 days ago. Boom! Somebody just came in and took that thing for $1 million. Bah! Yeah, double crazy. My money, right? Somebody just bought out. I just got noticed today. They're sending the Buzz Aldrin Apollo 11 joystick where the actual joystick they used to land on the moon. That joystick is going to get sent now to some special space auction. They're doing a big space theme auction. So that's going to go to auction and probably sell for, you know, way more than what we paid. You know, we just sold a Testarossa, just sold, what else do we sell? I don't know. They're selling a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Anyway, let's stop talking about it because A, we're going to have to run basically all this by the regulators and make sure we didn't oversell.
Overshare.
But, exactly. No, just like, no, are we too exuberant? I don't know. What are the rules? But it's really all good. And not financial advice and all that good stuff. You know, read the disclosures. But but super cool and super exciting. I mean, this was one of the things when I came on board, you know, with Media Options a few years ago. Can't believe it's a few years now. You know, the Rally Road partnership was in the mix and in the works at that time, and it was one of the things I was, you know, largely very excited about as far as like what the business was getting into and some of the things we were capable of doing, and you know, making that happen. It was been a bit of a, you know, sort of a long road as there's been different pieces and things to it, but you know, it has come along more than ever, and it's like we're on the cusp of this next phase of it that's super super exciting. So, anyway, yeah.
So just to clarify, okay. I think actually we are totally compliant, but just a couple of clarifications. I will say that, as I said, we are the asset manager. We are not receiving any compensation whatsoever for the management of the asset. We are the seller of the asset because we currently own it, and we will take a portion of the equity that we own public. And then you, the fellow audience, will own it with me. And we are retaining equity in the domain post sale. In fact, I will still continue to own the majority of the equity, and you will benefit from my expertise in negotiating any further sale, potential monetization, or otherwise.
All right. I think that, let's see. yeah, and there's no promise.
But actually, I'm really
just future returns.
I'm actually just doing this all for. I think it's literally going to be really fun. I think this is going to be really fun. You know, it's like, oh, you buy, you know, a couple $1,000s of crap domains on GoDaddy every day. Okay, well, you couldn't compete to buy these really big domain names, and now you can actually buy shares at the price I pay, or you know, as close to it as possible. Alongside of me. And so, anyways, it's a new and interesting pathway for those that, are intrigued.
It is, you know, it's
leveling up domain investment.
That's it. No. And it's cool that it's coming to fruition like this. Love it. Totally. All right. Well, good stuff, guys. I think we are over time. Appreciate it. Especially Mark. Thank you so much, dude. Looking forward to getting
awesome
you on
to
here.
See all you guys.
Love having you on here, Mark.
Yeah. We're going to
great having you back.
Like yeah, I said,
awesome. See all you guys.
Yep. Well, we're going to do it again soon. And especially once, you know, you launch the new platform, the new old platform, if you want to come on and talk about it, let's make that happen. And, but even if that takes a little bit of time, let's definitely get you on here sooner than later. So,
well, or if I buy dogramps.com.
Do Gramps. Do Gramps.
Just don't become Gramps. As long as you're
not Gramps. I'm trying hard. Try it.
Hey, you know, look, hey, you got, everybody's got to be on all sides of that deal. it is all good. Anyway, all right. Hey, Drew, Shane, as always, thank you guys so much, man. Appreciate it. And to the audience, like I say in every show, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Without you, there is no us. Keep hitting us up with any comments, questions, good, bad, ugly. We really don't mind. Even folks that want to talk some smack, we appreciate that, too, because any and all feedback at the end of the day, it means that you're tuning in, and we appreciate that. So,
yeah.
And
then just remember that we smack back.
We smack back. and or we don't care, or maybe we do. I don't know. But at the end of the day, we're going to keep showing up and doing what we do because this is what we love. And we love all y'all and appreciate you guys and appreciate everybody that tunes in. And then everybody that gives us feedback, also all good. So until next time, we'll see everybody here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Otherwise, keep raging against the Levine, and we'll see everybody soon.
I'm going to go buy that right now. See you guys.
Choose rich. Choosing rich.